Show. This is Mark Avery for Shooting from the Hip. We are really glad to have you with us this morning. This is Independence Day. Jeff is deaf this morning. He's not able to hear himself on the headphones, so we'll just talk to you. But he is in the studio, and that's kind of a refreshing change since he's been unavailable for several of the last few weeks, and this has been one of those times that Jeff's been able to get in and be part of the studio today. Jeff?
I want to welcome our listeners. I know that during this part of the day, listeners are typically used to morning drive and other related programming, and we're more than glad to have you today. And it's an exciting day. As Mark mentioned, this is a special Independence Day broadcast of Shooting from the Hip. The people here at the studio were good enough to give us the opportunity to do some programming, and we certainly welcome the opportunity to maybe reach out to some new listeners, people who haven't heard about us, and talk about what we're all about at Sim Trainer, and talk about guns, talk about gun-related issues. Want to start off today by reminding our listeners, or letting our listeners know, that today we'll be holding a special Independence Day sale at the range. We're normally open in the evenings from 5 to 9. However, today we'll be open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. Down at the range, which is located at 2031 Dryden Road, right across from DP&L in Moraine. And we're going to have a lot of interesting things going on. We're going to have a day-long raffle for anybody that comes in. They can purchase raffle tickets, $10 a piece, three for $25. Only 50 are going to be sold, and that's going to be for a brand-new LC9 in a custom Ruger storage case and an extra magazine. It's a great new gun. It was Gun of the Year last year. I think right now it's leading or in the top two as far as sales go in the world. It's a great firearm, and we're going to give our listeners an opportunity to take advantage of the exciting events we have going on today and come down, purchase a ticket. And again, only 50 will be sold, and as soon as the 50th ticket is issued, we'll make the drawing and we'll make somebody a happy owner of a brand new LC9. We're also going to have a firearm sale. It's going to feature many of the Ruger products, including the Ruger Scout Rifle, the Ruger American Rifle in .243 caliber. We have a couple of the 10/22 takedown rifles, which are also popular right now. Only a few of the Rugers in other models, such as the LC9, LCP, and SR9, are available. We just recently received a stock. We've talked on the air many times over the last several months about the industry and how far behind they were in production. Well, they're starting to catch up. And just in the last month, we've noticed a significant influx of Ruger products. And so we're going to take advantage of that today and try to extend the opportunity for those who may be waiting for a Ruger firearm to come down, see what we have, see if there's something there that we can interest you in, and we'll be more than glad to get you in the gun of your choice. Also, remember, we offer the Try It Before You Buy It program. So if you have a gun you were thinking about, it doesn't necessarily have to be Ruger. It can be any firearm. We have about 30 to 35 of the popular firearms in our inventory, and you can take advantage of the Try It Before You Buy It program down at the range. It costs you $10 plus the price of a box of ammo, and that'll give you an opportunity to try out a gun before you take it home. In addition, today we'll be from 11 to 2, we'll be selling or we'll be giving away hot dogs and refreshments. And it'll just kind of be an opportunity for you to come down and see what the range is all about, see if there's a firearm you might be interested in, see if there's some kind of training that we might be able to provide for you. We have recreational shooting opportunities available. The range will be open all day long for those who are obviously our members. If you're looking at getting a membership, you certainly can try that today and see if that's something that you would be interested in doing on an ongoing basis. We also have some openings in our upcoming concealed carry class, which is next weekend, and our first shots classes, a variety of other training that we have available to you. You can come down and see what we have to offer, and certainly I know most of the time on days like today, most of the festivities get started in the mid to late afternoon and go on into the evening. So if you don't have anything to do this morning, give us a shot, literally and figuratively. Yeah. Come on down to the range and see what we're all about. And we'd be more than glad to meet with you and talk about your firearms-related interests and needs.
And the concealed carry class is as Jeff says, is next weekend, but that's not this weekend. So we're not talking about the 7th and 8th, but it's the 14th and 15th is when that concealed carry class is. So there's still plenty of time to plan for that, to get signed up for it and to be part of that class.
In addition to the firearms that I mentioned, we're going to have a variety of other firearms there. And Mark and I were talking about having a silent raffle for a couple of the...
Silent
the
auction?
Silent, yeah, that's what it is. Silent auction for a couple of the very popular firearms, including the as of right now, I'm going to see how it goes, and it looks like we're going to offer a 40 caliber Smith and Wesson M&P Shield. That'll be at the 11 o'clock hour, and then at the 12 o'clock hour, we'll probably do a silent auction for a Beretta Nano. And depending on how those go, we have a secret gun that'll probably go at 1 o'clock. I'm not going to put that out on the air, but these are the popular guns that people are having a hard time getting a hold of. And I just want to remind you, a silent auction isn't necessarily a situation where you're going to get a bargain basement price, but it'll give you a chance to take home a gun that you're really interested in at a price you're wanting to pay. And you're going to be competing against other people who want the same thing because they can't find those guns out in the market right now.
And I'll tell you right now, we have one of each of these, and that's it. And part of the reason we're going to do this is because we can't there's just no fair way we can tell everybody, you know, we can't get them. We don't know when we're going to be able to get them. And so if you want this one, the person who wants it the most is going to be the one who gets it.
Yeah, we think that they're going to also break here in the next couple months as far as them being released by the manufacturers. But we're hopeful.
Yeah, we really hope that's the case, because they've built up an awful lot of demand for these great guns. And we Jeff and I got to shoot them when we were down in Texas in January at our distributors show for the dealers, and these are great guns. I mean, they're no question that these guys are going to be very much in the running for the competition of the best gun of the year.
Yeah, they're very, very good quality firearms, and we've had an opportunity to compare them amongst themselves and to other firearms, and we find that they're performing at a very high level in all categories that we test guns for. In addition to, like I mentioned, the firearm sale, we're going to offer our retail inventory at 10% off. It'll be all of our retail items except for ammunition, and it will include the newly released or not so newly released, but new to the market for many people, the slide fire forward assist rapid fire stocks in both AR M4 rifle variants. And what that is, that's a stock that you attach to your M4 AR style rifle, and it's not an automatic rifle. However, it assists in increasing the rate of fire by enabling you to manually operate the fore end of the gun by pulling it forward, and you get a simulated full automatic simulation of firing a rifle. And it's people refer to it often as the poor man's auto rifle. It's a lot of fun. It's very safe when you're trained in how to use it, and it's something that we recently came across. It was demoed at the product show, and they just came available within the last month or two, so that'll give you an opportunity to take advantage of that. In addition, we've partnered with Macintosh Safes, which is a very well known Dayton-based safe company, and we have a couple of models of our Serengeti. They're Canon Safari safes in Serengeti models, and they're in models 6030 and 6036. That means 60 inches high and 30 inches wide, or 60 inches high and 36 inches wide. And they have a lot of great qualities. The 6030 weighs 620 pounds, has a 22-gun capacity. It has 1-inch top and side locking bolts, and the 6036 is 720 pounds. That's empty. And it has 28-gun capacity. It has 1-inch locking bolts. And both of these safes have a zero-cost lifetime warranty where they will repair or replace the safe components, which includes damage from a fire, flood, or criminal attack. And that lifetime warranty is kind of unique in the industry. And that warranty extends to all the major parts except for the locking mechanism, the mechanical locking mechanism itself, which...
Basically the keypad.
Yeah,
the keypad.
That's the only thing. That carries a one-year warranty. Some extra features of these safes is they have three layers of extra hard steel. They have high-security commercial-grade Type 1 electronic locks. They have two convenient 110... volt outlets inside the safe so that you can add lighting, and the lighting they have the LED lighting that goes around the safe so that it illuminates the inside of the safe.
A lot of people with a gun safe want to put a dehumidifier in there, and so there's a room for that as well as the lights.
Exactly, exactly. There's dehumidifiers that come that you have to plug in, others that you can just, that are freestanding, but the plug-in, in the ones that you plug in last longer and tend to be a little bit better. The interior lights are activated by opening the door. They have fully adjustable upholstered shelving. The door locks automatically lock when the door safe is closed. That's an interesting feature. It's a automatic locking system. They also have pistol kit door mount accessories and dehumidifier accessories as aftermarket, and they're available in a variety of colors and different options. In addition, the owner of Macintosh Safe has set up an arrangement where for a small fee, he will deliver and set up your safe at your location. So if you're interested in getting a good quality safe, we have two of them on display inside the range, and you can come down and take a look at those and see if that's something that interests you.
Maybe you'd like to be a part of the show today, and we'd like to invite you to call in. If this is the first time that you've been hearing about Shooting from the Hip, then we'd also like to point you out to our website. But the number here into the studio is 457-1290. 457-1290 will get you into the master control booth, and then we will get you up on the board and try to get you involved in this program as well. Sim Trainer is the sponsor of the show, Shooting from the Hip, and you can find more information about the show at sim-trainer.com/radio, and that's where you'll also find our archived shows from the last 3 years or so, and it's also where you'll find the link to our Facebook page. So if you'd like to be part of the show that way and come online, you can get to our Facebook page by clicking on the Facebook link there. We also have a podcast that's available, so if you'd like to download the show and listen to it offline when it's more at your convenience, rather than our normal time, which is 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, then you can download that show and have it on your podcast listener. So if you'd like to be part of the show today, call the studio at 457-1290.
This is a special 2-hour broadcast today, so we're going to be with you till 9 o'clock this morning. So for those of you who might be new to the show, we pretty much specialize in discussions related to gun-related issues. It could be pertaining to legislation. You heard something in the news and you were curious about why people can do this, why they can't do that. You have a friend who has a gun and maybe they have an issue that you know, they asked you about why you don't have one and you've thought about it. Whatever your concerns are, call us and we can help you through the process. It's something that we take pride in, the fact that we specialize in gun and gun-related matters, whether it be training, gun selection, accessory selection, whatever the case might be. We don't know it all, but we can at least, at the very least, direct you to some resources that might help you take care of whatever needs you might have. And again, there's lots of good things going on. Here we are. I was calculating it today. We're less than 4 months away from the election in November. Another thing we talk about is support for candidates and things of that nature. And we come back after the break. We'll talk about some of those issues and maybe engage some of you in some dialogue related to that and other matters.
This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Call the studio at 457-1290 if you'd like to be part of the show right here on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
America, this is your blood brother Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Again, I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery, and we're from Sim Trainer. We'll be with you for the next hour and a half through the 9 o'clock hour, and we want to reach out and talk with you about anything related to guns, gun-related matters. Give us a call here at the show at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, and we'd be more than glad to assist you in that capacity, whether it's choosing the gun for concealed carry, taking the concealed carry class. You never fired a gun and you want to get exposed to that, we offer the nationally acclaimed First Shots program down at the range. We can get you in that class and get you started on your journey. And I just want to let our listeners, many of them who are probably new to the show, know that we've had people who, I can think of a lady right off the top of my head who just in November of 2011 had never touched a gun before. She came to First Shots class, was intrigued with what she saw there. It dispelled many of the myths. The biggest thing is we show them that guns by themselves are not dangerous, and exposed her to a very structured environment inside the range. She got excited about it. She came back for our basic handgun class. She then took a couple private lessons, bought her own gun, both for recreational shooting and for personal protection, ended up taking the concealed carry class, and is now in the middle of completing the advanced handgun series. So it can happen that quickly, or it could just be a situation where you come to the range, and we've had many people who have followed this course where you've heard a lot about guns, you've been afraid of them because of the negative presentation that the media casts upon guns, and you come down to the range and you're apprehensive about it, and we dispel a lot of the myths, and you walk out of there, and that's the last time you ever go to a range, maybe the last time you ever shoot a gun, but at least you know the facts, you know that guns by themselves are not dangerous, and you're able to have an informed, educated discussion with individuals. And I know that we've had many, many people who have come through our First Shots class, and that may be the last class they've ever had, but the majority of them, I think over half for sure, that's a safe assessment, over half for sure, come back in some capacity, and they are excited about their experience, and they talk to other people about it. And another example I think of, I had a school teacher who came down. She lives by herself. She figured, given the way the world's going, she better get some training. And she went through that very process that I just described. Instead of the First Shots class, she took a private lesson, took a second private lesson, and bought her own gun, and is registered for the concealed carry class. But in the meantime, she got to talking to several of her teaching friends, and over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks, 3 or 4 of those friends went through the same process, and they're very excited about it. And of course, they're talking to their friends, and they use it now as a social gathering event. They come down and enjoy some recreational shooting at the range, and then they go to dinner and whatever else they do in the course of an evening. But it's given them a new hobby, so to speak. And like any other hobby, shooting's expensive, whether you're a golfer, whether you're a bowler, or whatever the case might be. But it's a nice thing. It's very individual. You can come to the range by yourself, and you can practice. You can challenge yourself with some of the gaming targets that we have, whatever the case might be. You get that personal satisfaction. For those of you that have children, our First Shots class is open to people as young as 10 years old. And many of the people in that class, I'm going to guess anywhere from a third to half, are under 21, many of them under 18. And it is their first experience. The focus of that class is on safety, basic functional operation, nomenclature, the parts of a gun. And then the neat thing about the First Shots class is you get to go out onto the range under the direct supervision of our trained staff and actually shoot a gun. Get to line up the sights and learn how to hold the gun, and to how to squeeze the trigger, and how to recover from the recoil, and how to load the gun, how to unload the gun. Another part that many people overlook, how to unload the gun and make the gun safe. So it's a great opportunity for you to come down to Sim Trainer, and we can pretty much cover the entire gamut of shooting interests.
That's also a great way for families to get involved, is the First Shots class, because we do start at about age 10 typically, but we can take a little bit younger kids if their hands are large enough to handle the firearms safely and they're mature enough. And that's really up to you, parents, to make that determination. You know whether your kids can pay attention and follow instructions the way they need to. It's a great way. We've had a lot of families come down. First, as an introduction to the safe handling of firearms, and then as a family recreation that they can come back and do after that. We're going to need to take our break here at the bottom of the hour. So if you'd like to be on the show, we've got some folks already waiting on the line. We'll get to you right after that break, and then we'll take your calls at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show today, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. In fact, let's go right out to the phones now. We'll talk to Steve in Dayton. Steve, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, the one question I have is, I grew up in the flatlands of Michigan, and as a kid, we had a rifle club within our high school. And the police chief and his two daughters were on our team. And we fired with different schools. And also, we used to fire down in Camp Perry in Ohio. And with the firearm, we learned respect. But on the same token, as during Thanksgiving, Easter, and Christmas, we had to go out and forage for some food for the family. So not only did we learn how to shoot, but we went and had to spend a few hours out in the weather and either look for a deer or pheasant. We don't have those anymore. They're like gone. But hey, I mean, and it wasn't like it is today, where if you mention the word gun rather than firearm, people just look at you and go, "Oh my God!" I go, "Well, guess what? Hey, I was taught to respect the weapon, and it wasn't used for a malicious purpose, you know."
We often think about New York City and how they have fairly a liberal bent and anti-gun Mayor Michael Bloomberg and some of the programs that he's put out. But frankly, it was pretty common for kids to carry their rifles to school on the subway, and then they would have a range in the basement, and that's where they would shoot for the leagues for the schools, and they would get trained, and they would learn the proper way of handling a firearm. And proper way is the key. It wasn't then glamorized. It wasn't some kind of big mystery. It was something that was a part, normal part of everyday life.
And I grew up where everybody in my neighborhood was had come back from World War II or the Korean War, and we had reloaders in our basements, and we helped our parents reload shells because when winter came, hey, we needed something to eat or put on the table.
Mm-hmm. It was more than just a theory.
Yeah, and plus, not only did we interact with the police force, where the range was at the police station, and, you know, you got to know your officer and your, you know, I mean, if something ever happened in the city, you had a... it wasn't a militia back then. It was, you were a volunteer policeman. My dad, you know, he volunteered to take over duties when one of the regular policemen had to have something happen, and, well, let's say his family got hurt or there was an injury, or let's say he had to, there was something that happened. And that nobody ever said, well, hey, how much money I'm going to get for this. It was just something that you did for your community.
Well, you bring up a lot of interesting points, Steve. The first I want to mention is the how we let our shooting heritage wane. And Mark and I have talked about this many times. And I think that started in the late 60s into the early 70s. And a lot of people like to blame it on, you know, urbanization, the movement into cities and close, compacted areas. But it went well beyond that. Of course, there were the turbulent 60s. I think some of the things that happened during the 60s automatically put a negative onus on firearms themselves. And then that kind of carried on into family living. And then you add to that limited places, people not putting significance.
Yeah,
not putting significance on shooting. And you brought up Camp Perry. One of the main reasons Camp Perry exists is for recreational shooting. That's a huge facility, and they draw thousands, tens of thousands, probably into the hundreds of thousands of people over the course of a year for various shooting sports events up there. It's just a tremendous facility, and it's a great opportunity to get out and have some fun and to enjoy and engage in competition.
Yeah, you get fresh. Yeah, I mean, and you know how your doctor says you have to get some fresh air? Well, that's a great place to get some fresh air. Track a deer.
Yes, or just go to the range and shoot.
Right. And on the same token, when I grew up, on Thursdays we had Michigan Outdoors, where each week somebody would come on in a different section of Michigan. They would say, or even in Ohio, where the deer were. Where dove hunting was taking place, and the Department of Natural Resources had a list of areas where, you know, animals were either quarantined or, you know, where you could go. And I mean, when you went out, there was a ranger that you usually had to check in at a station, and there was none of this, why are you carrying a weapon? No, they said, hey, if I have the shells in one place and the gun in another place, fine, that's it, you know.
Right. Well, I have to tell you that we're doing all we can to restore the shooting heritage in this country, and I just want to give you two examples. I'm just going to use first names. We have an individual by the name of Kevin who brings his two daughters. They're both teenage young adults. He got them interested in shooting years ago, but real interested in recent times, and they come to the range. I see him down there probably once a week. It's him and his two daughters, and they go down for recreational shooting. He now has the at least one of the gals involved in the Scholastic Steel Challenge, which is an initiative that we are assisting in resurrecting in this area with the Greene County Fish and Game group, and it's a great opportunity for them to come and have some family time. Another example I want to bring, it's a guy named Greg who was a like Mark, kind of those somebody who sits behind a desk in an working on a computer most of his day, and in his case, most of his life. And he admittedly never had a hobby until about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And now you'll see him down there with his buddies 2 to 3 times a week. Greg's in his 60s, and he came up to me one day and said that it's like being reborn. He's had an opportunity to come to the range, and he shoots. He enjoys it. He's participated in the training. When we have special events, he shows up, and it's just great to see his face because it always has a smile on it. He'll occasionally have a question. He was lucky, and this is what I think is the key. He was lucky to partner up with a guy who was a gun guy. And it's nice when you partner up with a gun guy because they have all the nice things and they know what to do to get you excited about coming to the range. So that was, in addition to coming to our facility and enjoying what we had, he had a friend who he could do this with, and he'd do it on a regular basis.
And it just became a regular event, come down to the range, come down and share some time with your friend, and come down and play with the toys and make some noise. And it's a great way to spend a few hours. We always have a good time doing that. Steve, thanks.
But the thing that gets me the most is when we were in school, the relation was we'd have the police chief, and he would go, now if this projectile is going at such a speed and how many grams, and at that point juncture, you know, there were a lot of guys who were either going to be, you know, working in the factory, or hey, they could go to math and science. And that got a lot of guys interested in the math and sciences, in the fact that you had to figure out the velocity, what kind of powder you were using, and hey, type of shell.
Little study of ballistics.
What if you modify it, you know? I mean, hey.
A lot of good points, Steve. You bring up a lot of good points. That was a great call, and it just touches on so many issues. And one thing we have to continue to work on is educating the youth, because there's a significant faction out there, the anti-gunners, who want to brainwash the youth so that when they move into adulthood that they will more adequately espouse to their anti-gun agenda, and it's simply not accurate. We offer, you know, we have open lines here. We've invited people to come. The anti-gun people don't really want to come on the air and try to promote their agenda, because it's a bunch of lies and deceit and misinformation. And it's geared at the younger population because they figure if they can get to them at an early age, they could brainwash them, and then they won't want to do some of the things you were talking about. Whereas when it's done in a safe environment, it's done with the proper supervision, it's an excellent sporting activity, and people have a lot of fun.
Let's go out to talk to Mike, who's calling from Bellbrook. Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your show. Thank you. I have a question concerning, I live in an apartment complex, and they have one of those signs out there that says no guns. And I'm just wondering, because I'm a resident, can I buy a gun and keep it in my home?
Absolutely. Okay. That was something that was changed. With statewide preemption and some other changes with Castle Doctrine went into effect, and those no longer have any force of law. So they cannot ban the resident from owning and possessing a firearm in the place that they're renting as their own residence.
Okay, that's good, because I really would like to get one, but I didn't want to break the law either.
No, absolutely. And in fact, if they have some sort of a covenant or some sort of a resident policy that says you can't, even that is not something they can enforce according to the law. Now, they may try, and that may end up with some sort of legal action that you would have to take in order to end that, but... the law, state law, now eliminates that from something being an option for the landlord to prevent a tenant from doing.
Okay, well, we had to sign, you know, paperwork in that, and I don't recall anything in there about firearms.
No, what typically happens is many of the private entities put the sign up because they think they should. Either their legal counsel, relying most of the time on misinformation, tells them just be careful and put the sign up. Now, many of them, let me just clarify what Mark said, and he did clarify it, but I want to make sure the listening audience understands this. They can put a sign up at the clubhouse or the rental office restricting you from carrying your gun into that location. However, they cannot on their face or up front prohibit you from owning a gun and keeping a gun inside your particular residence within the apartment complex. But if you would get your CHL, you couldn't go into any of those other publicly accessible areas
that are posted.
That are posted with the gun. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Are you, by any chance, former military?
I am. I was in the Air Force for 20 years. And
oh,
Jeff
really?
Is, yes.
Did you ever hear of AFK?
Yes.
Okay, that's where I work.
Okay, all right.
Okay, well, thank you again. I appreciate your, wow, that opened up some new doors for me.
Well, great. Maybe we'll see you down at the range later.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks very much for calling the show, Mike.
Well, that's just an example of, you know, we're reaching out to a new audience, and it's a simple question. Many people just feel that they're misinformed and they don't get the information that they need. And as a result, they rely on the fact that, well, there's a sign there, so it must mean that I can't. And again, I have to mention that I think it's the wrong approach. I think that many private entities have put the sign up just because they think they should, and that's a safer way to go, when in fact, that's just the naive way to go.
Yeah, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because the way that the law is written, there is some change in, there's some adjustment in liability that, and I understand some underwriters' concerns, and I understand the logic that they come to, and there is a slight change and difference in the way of liability, and maybe we can talk about that when we come back. We are going to take a break here right before the end of the hour, but we will be back. So don't hesitate to call, just because there's only 5 minutes till the end of this hour when we come back, because we will be on for another hour from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So go ahead and call the studio at 457-1290. If we don't get to you before the news at the top of the hour, we'll get to you right after that. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and let's go right out to the phones now. We'll talk to James, who's calling. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm an old man, about 77 years old, and I have a concealed carry permit. I'm a widower, and I live by myself. And I go to the range, and I do the shooting and practicing. But what I'm concerned about is that when I'm outside, I usually have a walking stick, and on especially on uneven ground. And I think that I need a technique, you know, to support that, because I am a target, you know, being single and older, and I sometimes come home late at night. So, and my neighborhood is deteriorating, and a lot of my neighbors enjoy pit bulls and things of that nature. You do have private lessons. Can you tell me a little bit about them and what the cost would be?
James, we do have private lessons, and I could specifically customize a program for you, because I've done it for people with canes. I've done it for people with canes, and I've also done it for people in wheelchairs. So we can customize a class for you. The cost for private lessons is $50 an hour, and typically it would either take...
How much an hour?
It's $50 an hour, and it typically takes 1 to 2 hours to get you, depending on how much training you've had. We can get you to a very high level of competency in a very short period of time. That is our specialization. And when it's in a custom, or it's in a one-on-one environment, it makes it a lot easier, because we can devote all our efforts to just your particular situation. And in your case, one-handed shooting would be very relevant, recognizing that most situations are going to occur very close and you know, within 10 to 15 feet. We can get you up to a level of competency very quickly. So I'd like to, if you're interested, to have you stop down and see us, and we'll see if we can customize a program for you, because we've done it many times.
Well, thank you very much. I'm pretty sure that that's my next step, because there's no sense in carrying a gun when you can't use it properly.
Sure. You could just give us a call down at the range at 293 3914 if you use the internet. It's sim-trainer.com, or you can just stop down at Sim Trainer down at 2031 Dryden Road during our open hours. We'll be down there today, for example, from 10 to 7. It's a special holiday opening, but then tomorrow we'll be down there from 10 to 2 and Friday from 5 to 9. So if you have some time available, stop down and talk with us, and we'd be more than glad to help you out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling the show.
Have a nice 4th of July.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, you know, what the gentleman just talked about, what James just mentioned, is the area that we specialize in. We can customize programs because we have the facility, because we have access to the range during times when there's not recreational shooting going down. We can do that. And in his case, a 77-year-old man, having a gun is just it's good business. I think that it's the equalizer. No one should expect a 77-year-old man to have to wrestle with a 16- to 25-year-old thug that intends on doing him harm. And in the right situation, the gun can be used to defend his life or someone else's life. And in his particular case, he mentioned that he's a little unstable on his feet, has difficulty to get down. And the big thing, he said, he's a target. And that's an unfortunate reality. Criminals prey on people who they think are going to be easy prey. But, like I said, the gun is the equalizer, and it will give him the opportunity to thwart a violent encounter. And we certainly would like to help him in that regard.
And maybe that's something that you've been looking at and you say, well, you know, I don't think I could ever really handle a gun. Frankly, the guns that are out there now, there are such a wide variety and there are so many different styles and designs that it's actually fairly easy for us to fit a gun to you. So we'll maybe talk a little bit more about that when we come back after the news at the top of the hour. If you'd like to be part of the show, you can call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.